Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. It has been just a little while since we've talked to you.
It's been a minute.
We're alive. We're alive and well. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Kevin. Excited to talk about some KU basketball. Just a tiny, teensy, weensy bit of KU football. Just like old times.
That's right. Exactly. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Kevin. I know we're a couple days after Christmas. We're in that weird section in between Christmas and New Year's where no one really is playing basketball. But because of how the schedule works out, we have Big 12 basketball before New Year's Day.
How about that?
I can't remember the last time that's happened. Maybe it happened last year, but we're getting early basketball, early conference basketball.
Well, we are happy to be back on the podcast. Sorry, I've been receiving your tweets. I appreciate all the people wondering if we have died. There were a few of those. Are you guys dead? Was a couple. I liked that. No, we're not. We're good. We both started new jobs in the past month, right? Is that about right? And had some crazy life events going on, but settling down and all is well. And we were ready to talk some KU hoops going forward in 2017. So, Andrew, let's talk about what we're talking about today. We're gonna hit a few of the news stories that we've missed over the past, what is it, 5 or 6 weeks, whatever. Very briefly, though, we're gonna just like quick hitters. We're gonna talk about the Big 12, Andrew. We're gonna preview the Big 12, give our annual preseason Jayhawk Talkie Awards. We're gonna do some power rankings. We're gonna go through the schedule. Give some predictions, looking forward to that. And then Andrew, we'll be actually previewing the TCU game coming up here. So a lot to talk about on this podcast. What do you say we jump right in, Andrew? I think it's probably important that we like touch on this one little subject, that whole Carlton Bragg thing. It kind of came and went in like two news cycles, right? It was very strange, but it was still a huge deal and, you know, one of the biggest stories of the college basketball season so far.
Well, news came on a Friday and then it was all cleared up by a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? So 5 days. Right. You know, one thing about it that I will say, and I'm sure everyone knows the story, the one thing that we do have to be careful in these stories and kind of have to consider, you know, how we consume news is that when that broke on Friday, like that was on the ticker of ESPN.
Right.
That was on the main page of ESPN, you know, headlines everywhere. And then when it all got cleared up, like it wasn't as big
nowhere.
Of news.
Yeah.
I mean, it did get posted on ESPN, but nowhere it didn't get the traction, you know, but that the initial sensational story.
Not as interesting. Yep.
And so maybe it's just a lesson to kind of be careful with some of those stories.
Of course.
But I mean, when these things happen, it rarely works out where it all cleared itself up and
just kidding.
We're done with it and just right. kidding. And it's all good. And we're moving on and he gets to play the next game and everything's fine. It never happens that way.
Right.
But I think we just do need to be careful how we consume things and rush to judgment. And that's easy to say as a guy who we were rooting for. We wanted him to be the good guy in the situation.
Sure.
But I wasn't saying he was the absolute 100% good guy. I mean, I don't know all the facts, but it wasn't what we thought.
Right. And that's, I think you're right. That is the lesson to take here. Of course, you're never going to be the one that gets retweets if you sit up there and say something like, guys, let's just sit back. And, you know, let's just sit back and think about this. You know, we don't have all the facts. Like no one in this sensationalism kind of world, as you said, especially on Twitter. I mean, Hot Take Central. I mean, there are some tweets blazing about the Carlton Bragg thing. I was guilty of at least trying to follow along with the police reports that were being released and the DA's report. And I was trying personally to stick to just those things and just saying, but But I mean, you saw them too. They looked bad. I mean, they looked bad. And it turns out, of course, that the truth shall set you free. And so,
Hold on, one second. What fraternity house has a camera?
Right?
What?
That's brilliant. I know.
Why is there a terrible idea. A camera in the fraternity house? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, thanks. I mean, good job, I guess. Maybe it's to, I don't know. I don't know. But you're right.
Okay, well, anyway.
That doesn't happen. Let's move along.
Just to speak on Carlton Bragg, he is not the player we thought he was going to be this season. Is not yet. Starting. Is only getting a handful of minutes a game. I think with Udoka going down, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, he's going to need to step up offensively and particularly defensively because he's one of the few big guys we have. So while he's not the you know Big 12 player, first team, second team, third team that we thought he could be, just stepping in right in for Perry Ellis. There's a lot of opportunity now for him to maybe, because people were talking about him as a NBA draft pick after this year, but we'll see. It's a long season.
You know, it'll be weird because his role, he can't play the five. I mean, he can't. It's just not in his game. So his role is truly only to play the old traditional three out, two in, and when he comes in and plays the four, right? And so and we're seeing so much of this four guard lineup, especially be successful in this four guard lineup. Really the only time we'll see Bragg is when he's in there with Landon, right? I mean, it seems like that's the only time he'll really play. And I think you're right. Unfortunately, his ceiling of minutes, it will be limited this year as a result of that. Given, the fact that you have to play Josh Jackson, and he's been playing that four position in this little four guard lineup so well. It'll be interesting to see what, kind of upside in minutes Bragg can bring. Obviously, some of it will be based on the matchup. So there will be some times where, maybe that three out two in will make some sense, especially defensively. But yeah, we'll see. Let's move on to the Udoka story since you mentioned it. Udoka was coming on strong, had earned a starting position, was starting to look pretty light on his feet and was playing really well. Unfortunately, kind of a freak accident in practice, broke his wrist, out for the season. Brutal.
Pretty brutal. One thing about it, though, is he's going to still be able to work out a little bit. It's not like he tore a ligament in his leg or something. It's just his hand. Out for, 5 to 6 months. So he's going to miss the season, but I don't think that we'll see the long lag time and him recovering. I think he'll be ready to go full bore next season. And remember, he's only 17.
Right.
So he's a young guy. So he's going to be coming in, next year as a sophomore, as an 18-year-old sophomore.
Hungry.
Played half the season most of the half the season. And then sat through practices, sat through the system with Bill Self, got to play summer ball. So he's going to be ready to play next year. I mean, Landon's going to be gone. We're going to need someone to really fill that role. And, he had kind of already taken over, but we'll have that spot, locked down for next year. So sorry to have that happen to him, but
yeah, it sucks.
Excited to see what happens with him next year. And we're not completely hung dry with him getting hurt.
Well, the issue is depth now. I mean, we're just so light. I think we've seen already that Colby is not, anything more than a role player, whether it's due to injury or not. He just, he's not really doing much out there. Landon's playing better of late, which is good because he kind of has to with Udoka hurt, and we just don't have anybody else. And so, really comes down to Landon playing well. He had such a nice stretch last year where we went on that long winning streak. He was playing really well. We just need him to channel that, and we've seen signs that he's getting healthier and playing a little better. And with the four guard lineup, he doesn't have to score. In fact, I wish they wouldn't even throw him the ball inside. I wish he would just rebound and get putbacks, and that's his offense, and make some free throws from time to time, which he's actually shooting those pretty well. But anyway, let's move on. Pretty brutal for Udoka, but hopefully, like you said, he comes back hungry next year and really shows the signs that he was coming on. How about talking about some Sfi, Andrew? All of a sudden, Sfi gets a starting position and playing pretty well. I mean, he's got a little bit more to his game, it feels like, this year. He's shooting threes, looking confident from behind the arc, but also using a little bit of that Euro step, getting in the lane, showing some explosiveness. Really good finisher this year. Probably maybe behind Frank and maybe Devontae, probably the best finisher at the rim. Really impressed with Sfi so far.
I think you're right. And we knew we could do this. He's just finally putting it all together consistently.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't go through these like long droughts and these, you know, spouts of bad defense and spouts of looking lost in the game. He's kind of eliminated that from his game where it's kind of always on, always focused. And he's not necessarily hitting all those threes, but they're more consistent. And he's got a little drive to his game, and not that he didn't have that before, but if he can hit those threes and be a danger driving the ball, and we've always known this, but his passing has been great this season.
Yeah,
he may be one of the best. I mean, Frank's good and Devontae's good, but you know, in terms of crazy things that can happen, you know, it's court vision. He may be the best on the team, so I'm excited for Sfi. We've been, you know, the founding members of the Sfi fan club going back 2.5 years now. Right. So it's finally good to see him coming along, getting a starting spot. I don't know if he's going to be in that spot going forward, but
I think so. I think he's locked it.
Locked it.
Yeah. Vic is not going to start anymore, I don't think. I think he had some good minutes, but I think Sfi's playing too well. Vic's going to get his minutes, and I think they'll keep that kind of position between the two of them. You know, I think they'll share quite a bit, but I think Sfi ends up with more minutes the rest of the year than Vic. And with Josh at the four playing that kind of quasi four guard lineup, you know, you got to keep Frank and Devontae on the court. So personally, I think Sfi is a lock for starting the rest of the season, unless something happens and we got to go. Bill Self can't handle, he gets a combustion based on playing four guards. Something wakes up and he freaks out about it. But until then, I hope Sfi continues to get that spot.
All right, let's move on. Bill Self got his 600th win.
How about that?
As a coach at the game, they had this nice little tribute to him with players going back to Oral Roberts, sending in little well wishes.
Cool.
Oral Roberts, Tulsa, a couple from Illinois, and then lots of old Jayhawks that were coached under Bill Self. So it was nice to see that. That's a pretty big accomplishment, 600 wins. Not everyone gets there, and he's done it fairly quickly, you know, and a good majority of those came at KU.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. Along the same lines, you know, he gets on the Naismith Hall of Fame ballot. Some are wondering whether he'll get the nod this year, or if he'll be a second or third year, fourth year, whatever it's going to take to get him on there. We'll see. I think there are a lot of people that think he's a first ballot guy, and hopefully he is. He deserves it. You know, obviously there's a lot of other people on the ballot who've been on the ballot before. But yeah, I think he should hopefully end up with that honor, and obviously deserving. Kind of weird that they do, like, you know, coaches that are still coaching type of thing. I've always thought that was strange, but whatever.
And he's not that old. I mean, he's in his 50s. 55. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we know who else is on there. Coach K is on there. Calipari is on there, right?
Roy.
Roy's on there. Izzo's on there. I don't know who else. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Boeheim, I think, is on there. But anyway, that will be a great honor and obviously well-deserved. Andrew, let's talk about that Duke win. It's been that freaking long since we've had a podcast, but I keep hearing people say stuff about how that Duke win was actually not that impressive due to some pieces not, you know, being there for Duke. But I was trying to remember back in the memory bank. Didn't we go like 2 for 17 from three in that game?
Yeah, we didn't play great.
And we played not awesome. Yeah, and I want to say it was really, really bad shooting. I think it was 2 for 17. I might be making that up, but it was not good. I mean, we and for a team that's shot the ball, you know, that's almost relied on 3-point shooting this season, That was a terrible, terrible game shooting the ball, and we still won. So I'm not going to allow that. and as I recall, didn't we shoot like 40% from the free throw line too? Although that's been kind of the whole season. But anyway,
yeah,
whatever.
I think we're fourth from the bottom
that
in free
throw
shooting.
Well, yeah, that'll go like, up because Udoka's out.
Like, that's very true. It was only him and Josh Jackson who were getting fouled, and they can't shoot
free throws
at all. All right, we got that Duke win. That's our biggest win of the season. And one thing about that is, like, all the freshmen weren't in there. Like, the freshmen haven't been their big players. It's been Luke Kennard and it's been Grayson Allen. So when they were in the game and we
rest
didn't play our
peace.
Game, so it'll be. Yeah, rest in peace, Grayson Allen. He'll play. He'll come back for conference season, right? Like he'll be back next week, right? Right.
I think so. That was a weird deal. Can we talk about that for like 10 seconds? Listen, I don't like Duke at all, and I don't like Grayson Allen at all. But did we really need to? I mean, the blowback was strong and probably deserved, you know, but maybe not as deserved as it's become. Like, he didn't go out and, you know, do some of the stuff Carlton Bragg was accused of. He didn't go out and get a DUI. Like, I think he's just got some weird mental deal in his head that he's got to trip some dudes. And I don't know. Give him a technical and move along. I guess maybe I'm missing the whole, this guy needs to get set down. Is it just like a mental?
How many times does it have to happen?
I know. I mean, I get it.
Like, is four too many? Is five too many for you?
I mean, until someone really gets hurt, like, he's just kind of flailing his leg. I mean, it's just, yeah, whatever. I guess he is not, he's done some stuff that looks really Duke-ish. And it just feels really Duke-ish. And I guess that's just kind of my reaction to it. So I don't really, it just feels Duke-ish. It doesn't feel like the guy needs to be suspended for a month. It feels like he needs to have Coach K sit down and be a coach and not a basketball player or not a basketball coach. He needs to be a teacher of men and needs to sit him down and figure it all out. And I think a guy needs some, like, literally some, I don't know. Probably some doctor help. I mean, that whole like outburst on the, he's got something weird upstairs, but I don't know, let him play. That's my opinion.
Right.
Hot take.
I'm tired of talking about the past. I want to talk about KU football and then I want to look forward. So
okay.
I'm going to group all the KU football things together.
Let's do it.
Give you a quick hitter. Number one, KU beat Texas in football. It's been that
How
long
that?
Since we podcasted. We beat Texas in football for our second win of the season. Our first conference win. Of the season, our first conference win in 2 years. We also lost our offensive coordinator. We have no offensive coordinator at the moment, but it's not like we had one to begin with. This guy Likens was more of a QB coach slash what do they call walk around guy? Is that what they called him? The walk around guy.
He probably
and
should
then,
have been OC.
Right, and then Beatty got an extension based off of rumors that he was going to take. Coordinator position at Texas.
No way.
I don't know if I believe that, but that's anyway. He was extended because he got a win against Texas, or just because you know they like the direction of the program. So anyway, just concisely, quickly, give me your thoughts on KU football moving forward. Or we're gonna get more than two wins next year.
I think so. I won't go anything more than like if we set the line at 3.5. I mean. That's a good line. We've got some pieces coming back. We got to fix the quarterback position. I don't know if Carter's the answer. We've got a transfer coming in. Could be interesting. I wish we would get a real offensive coordinator. It was, you know, with Likens leaving, really it just leaves Beatty as the OC. And I mean, we saw how that went this year. I mean, as OC, our numbers actually went down. I mean, he had no real upgrade in with him taking over play calling. You would think that we were like 120th before we went up to like 119th. Like it was not better. We got to get better on the offensive side. But that said, he probably deserved some sort of you know, at least extension enough to keep recruiting drum beat going. And he got that. He was making what, like 600K or something as the coach. So that whole nonsense about him potentially taking a an OC job somewhere, first of all, ain't nobody hiring that dude as OC. He's got no background of it being good at OC. Like, that is nonsense. However, he could have probably got a raise going somewhere else because he wasn't making anything. So I don't know. His raise for getting the win and showing some signs of life, whatever, I think that's fine. Notice it came when the Charlie Weiss number rolled off the books. And so we're not paying Chuck anymore. So I think it probably had a little something to do with that too, but whatever. I think he's the answer for now. Obviously want to still see some improvement next year, but we did see a little bit of improvement this year. And so I guess Beatty's the guy.
Okay. Let's get some bigger, more nebulous questions. Things that people are talking about. Things that are popular around the water cooler, Kevin.
First up, Andrew, what are people talking about around the cooler? They're talking about small ball. We got four guards playing on KU basketball's team all at the same time. What do you think of this iteration of four out, one in, Bill Self small ball?
I have a couple thoughts. One, he tried this before after some advice from Fred Hoiberg last year, right? Was it last year?
Right, yeah, something like that.
And we tried it for a little bit and it was fine. It wasn't like a disaster, but we didn't stick with it, you know, for a good portion of the season. We did it here and there and it worked out. But what I think is that in a different year, I don't think we would see it as much. We just have the luxury of having really tall guards who can rebound. So we have a Josh Jackson who's 6'8", 6'9", who's a quote unquote guard, but right. He can rebound probably better than anybody. He's still really tall. Same thing with Sviatoslav, 6'8". He's not the world's best rebounder, but he can handle his own. And you have him at the three. So you have a 6'8" and a 6'9" guy at the three and the four. That's not that small. Now, in terms of like the way they play, are they taking a lot of three pointers, a lot of jump shots, a lot of, you know, guys on the perimeter? That's true. But in terms of, are you giving up a lot of size defensively? You're giving up some weight. We don't have the, you know, your four guy is this monster Marcus Morris type of guy. But, you know, in terms of height, rebounding ability, we're not sacrificing that much.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think you're right that it has something to do with Josh Jackson being able to defend the four and being able to do so many things in the paint. You know, he might be your best rim protector.
I like him better in the paint than taking jump shots.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
He's better posting up. I think he's better being a traditional four.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't want to do that.
He won't be that in the NBA.
He has no desire to do that. Exactly, for that reason.
But in college basketball, he is way better playing a traditional four than a stretch four or this four out, one in style.
Well, I sort of agree. I mean, he hasn't done anything like catch the ball and like he hasn't been posting dudes up very much, but
yeah, he has. Yeah, he has.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree there. I'll have to watch for that. I will keep an eye on that just for you. But what I like about him, Andrew, is that he can take like his first step in getting into the lane. It takes two dribbles. I mean, he's there and he's doing these finishes and, you know, you're right. He's not shooting the ball very well. His game inside the paint is solid. But what I like about him is just insane vision and best passer on the team and one of the best rebounders on the team and, you know, stealing the ball and blocking shots. And he's figured out that the way that the NBA is, or that the college basketball is calling fouls this year, that verticality thing, like he's really good at it. Like maybe the best in basketball, just due to his, you know, his athleticism at blocking shots, just going straight up. And, man, he is a ton of fun to watch. And I don't think there is any doubt that he's the best basketball player on our team. I think Frank is the leader of this team. I think Frank will drive this team. But in just terms of holy cow basketball player, Josh Jackson is insane.
Well, in terms of KenPom's Player of the Year rankings, Frank Mason is currently ranked number 4, and I think Josh Jackson is 6. So they're both in the top 10 of Player of the Year rankings.
How about that?
Very close together. And imagine if one or the other wasn't on the team. Like they're stealing points and they're stealing stats away from each other.
Yeah, you're
stealing,
right.
Stealing usage away from each other, and they're still both in the top 10. So, you know, as Josh starts to figure things out more, I think he's going to start to be, I mean, not that he isn't already, but more of the premier offensive threat on the floor. So that's right. that may take a little bit away from Frank. You know, I don't foresee Frank averaging 20, 21 points a game like he is right now. Like that's not going to be stable.
I think you're right. Mostly because he's not shooting that many shots. Like his 19 points per game is on, you know, ridiculous efficiency. I think I can't remember what it was, but he's like 7th in field goal percentage in the Big 12, and he's 5'11". Like that doesn't happen. I mean, and he's shooting a bunch of threes. I mean, he's 3rd in 3-point percentage in the Big 12. So, I mean, he is just taking really good shots. He's taking open shots. He's not driving into brick walls like he was in the last couple of years. He's picking his spots, and God, he's playing really well. But you're right. I think Josh helps some of that too, though, having that threat. And then, you know, that's the thing. He spreads Fee and Devontae, two really good shooters on the outside too. And all of a sudden, you got to pay attention to some dudes, and there's some space to operate. I think that helps Frank a lot too. You know, usually we've got 3 out, 2 in, and Frank's got to drive in, and he's got 4 guys in the paint to deal with instead of 2. I think that makes a big difference as well.
Okay, we've got some Big 12 preview to get to, but I want to talk on a couple other things before we get there in this water cooler segment. The first is still on Josh Jackson, real quick. Am I out of my mind for thinking that in terms of their one season at KU, or even potential in the NBA, let's just focus on KU, that Josh Jackson has the potential to be better than Andrew Wiggins. And I say that because Josh Jackson fills out the stat sheet.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets rebounds, he gets assists, he gets blocks, he gets steals. Wiggins just really got points. He didn't really, and that's kind of been in the NBA too. Like, he doesn't really fill out the stat sheet, but Josh Jackson does. He does everything. What are your thoughts on that? I know we regard Andrew Wiggins highly, and I do as well. But I had an Andrew Wiggins jersey last year at your Christmas party. I brought a Lego Andrew Wiggins figurine that was the hottest white elephant gift of all time. So I'm an Andrew Wiggins guy. My name is Andrew.
That's a good point. It is Andrew.
We have a lot going for it. But could Josh Jackson, because of those other things he does, kind of take over that, you know, freshman standard, that freshman champion, the, I don't know what the word is, but the best freshman KU's had under Bill Self?
Yes. Easy answer. Yes. I mean, for all the reasons that you said, you know, I think what Wiggins averaged 17 a game, was a second team All-American, as I recall. I think Josh is better. Now, he may not get the accolades. He may not average that many points when all said and done for KU. But let's not forget, like, Wiggins wasn't that good of a three-point shooter at KU either. I think he shot, if I had to guess, in the low 30s from three at KU. Now, he's developed that a little bit, and I'm sure Josh will too on the next level. But, you know, he just got his points the way that he got his points, you know, with amazing putbacks and awesome drives and just insane athleticism and just a better player than everybody on the court. And once he figured that out toward the end of the season, he started, you know, putting it together and really scored a lot of points. I think Josh has that same ability, and Josh will hopefully, that light bulb, it seems like, has gone off much earlier than it did for Andrew. I mean, think about early in the season when he was getting all those goofy touch fouls, and it seemed like he was all pissed off just about the game and about the refs and kind of, you know, bad body language. And then, you know, he kind of figured out, okay, well, they're calling this, so I'm going to do this, and they're doing that, so I'm going to do this. And next thing you know, like he's got it figured out. Like he just adjusted his game, and all of a sudden, you know, he's playing with a ton of confidence, and I think he's starting to figure out that he's just better than everybody else on the court. And that's something that Wiggins really never figured out toward the end. Or at least, you know, partway through the Big 12 season when he started really putting it together. So I'm really excited about Josh Jackson. In fact, I'm stoked. I'm really excited to see the rest of this season. Obviously, we're just going to have him this season. So I think you're right, man. I think he could potentially and maybe even likely be the best freshman KU's ever had.
Okay, Kevin.
Under Bill Self.
I agree. One thing that I want to bring up is that it's Christmas season. It's the holiday season, and it's the time of giving, the time of gift giving. If you had to give one gift to KU basketball, what would it be?
Well, it'd probably be unfair to like give a player, because I'd like Udoka back. But Andrew, I'd like to give KU basketball the gift of free throw shooting.
Oh, that's mine.
What?
Yeah, well, okay, well, go ahead with yours.
No re-gifting. They are 347th, I think, in college basketball at free throw percentage. That's not good. And this is something that it hasn't totally cost us yet. I mean, I guess you could say it sort of did in Indiana. We didn't shoot them great in that game. But it will if we don't start making some. Josh Jackson is probably the biggest offender. He's got an ugly shot. It's just, it's not repeatable. It's ugly. And they've already said they're not going to try to fix it. They're just going to let it go. So it's kind of a throwing up prayers, but I would hope that my gift of free throws would really, take KU to the next level. Did I talk long enough for you to come up with a better gift?
No, well, mine's more specific.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It's a specific gift. It's a 1 hour lesson in free throw shooting from Stat Boy. So long time listeners to the podcast will know the Stat Boy, my brother, we wouldn't know this, but when he was in high school, he would go around and like win free throw contests. Like they would have like free throw contests in the area and he would go and he'd win. He'd hit like 50 or 60 or 70 in a row or whatever it took to win. And he's more of a mechanics guy. Like he's not gonna play Division I or anything, but he can shoot a free throw. So it's all about mechanics for him. So if he just gets them to where their feet need to be, because he when he's watching a game, he's like, well, Udoka's footwork is why he misses all those free throws, because his legs are just flopping everywhere when he's shooting free throws. Like he's like, of course he's missing those because like his feet are angled like they're, and he's moving them halfway through, and he's moving them in the air, and he's moving them. Like when it's all just weird. So I just want to give him an hour lesson.
Okay.
On footwork with Stat Boy.
All right. That's good.
Just where to put your feet. That's all it is.
Isn't he still coaching?
No.
Is he doing any coaching? He's coaching what? Eighth grade girls basketball or something?
Yeah. The most thankless job.
weren't they running like crazy sets?
Like he was running up tempo press every time.
That's
down
a good
floor.
Idea. Yeah, that's good. That's good coaching in eighth grade girls basketball. All right, Andrew, what do you say we move along to the Big 12 preview?
Come on out, Pete. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
Dollar signs.
Oh, man, I missed that drop. All right, Andrew, it is time for the, I don't know, what is this, fifth annual, sixth annual, fourth annual?
Whatever.
I have no idea.
Whatever.
Let's call it fifth annual preseason Jayhawk Talkie Awards. All right, Andrew, as you know, Jayhawk Talkies are, I don't know, probably the most important awards that are given in the preseason. Like, no preseason awards mean anything, but these mean a little more than the other preseason awards. Would you agree with that much, at least?
I totally agree. The people are waiting. People wait years. Like, people are already waiting for the 2018.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they're all already waiting.
Let's start, Andrew, with the Big 12 Player of the Year Award. Who is your early candidate for the preseason Jayhawk Talkie?
Well, I'm going to give it to Frank Mason based on everything he does, tangibles and intangibles. So he's second in scoring. He's first in assists, seventh in field goal percentage, just an all-around bulldog. Couple other guys you could possibly throw in there. Juwan Evans from Oklahoma State. You know, maybe Jonathan Motley or somebody from Baylor, you know, just as a, you know, recognition that, that Baylor is a team to be reckoned with. But I'm going to go with Frank Mason just based on, you know, his track record so far and, you know, his history in the Big 12 that you know he's going to have a big season. It just, is he going to be the best? I think so.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with that at this point. Juwan Evans has more points, averaging 0.5 more per game. He's averaging 20.2. Frank's at 19.7. Jordan Woodard is the next up at 17.6. So you could maybe consider, you know, some of those guys. I'm with you, though, at this point. I think Frank has kind of separated himself a little bit. He's just, as you mentioned, kind of the whole you know, and affects the entire game. And, you know, KU really goes as he goes and, you know, really, really happy with, especially, you know, his just shot selection. I mean, that's what's kind of crazy. So let's go with Frank Mason for Big 12 Player of the Year Awards so far, preseason Jayhawk Talkie. Andrew, the next award up is the Ryan Spangler I Want That Guy on My Team Award. So we've talked about this before. We've given this award to generally guys that we just like in the Big 12 that we kind of wish were on our team. Like, that's really what it comes down to. We gave it to, who'd we give it to last year?
Was it Spangler? Baylor
player. No, it was someone from Baylor.
Torian Prince,
like,
maybe?
From Baylor? No, I don't remember. Well, maybe it was Spangler. Either way, it's the Ryan Spangler I Want That Guy on My Team Award. I put down Jonathan Motley or Deontay Burton. I don't really like Burton as a guy, but I like his game. And then Motley would be like Bill Self's like wet dream for, you know, along with Landon, and we'd play that style that Bill longs for. Who do you get?
I don't have Deontay Burton because he travels every time he touches the ball.
He does.
He just gets away with it most of the time. Just yes. Watch, he travels every time.
I know.
Jonathan Motley, I think, is our more traditional four man. Which is kind of KU's staple, is this great power forward, traditional four. And so I'm going to go with Jonathan Motley. I've liked Jonathan Motley since he was a freshman at Baylor.
Me too.
You got some minutes.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Jonathan Motley it is. All right. Next up, Andrew, is the Beal Self Coach of the Year Award.
Beal Self.
The candidates so far are Beal Self and... I think you got to put Scott Drew on the list, right?
I've seen this Baylor team before. I've seen it before. We've all seen it before.
I know. It's funny because I have the same reaction you do. And watching all and listening to all the podcasts, you know, national media talk about Baylor and how amazing they are. And God, there's, you know, their wins so far, just jumping off the page. And you know, they're a one seed as you look right now. And as we sit, I'm with you, and it just mark our words, mark this spot in the podcast at 39 minutes and Baylor will not be a one seed. They will not be a two seed. They are going to lose games. Now they're obviously a lot better than we thought they were going to be. So that is the measuring stick usually for coach of the year, right? Who completely outplayed their expectations. And at this point, probably Baylor.
I agree. I would throw some love to Brad Underwood at Oklahoma State.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good call.
They've got two losses, one to North Carolina, one to Maryland, but have a big win against Wichita State.
Yeah,
You know what? They're kind of coming around. Like, he's taking that team.
They're fun to watch.
to some new levels. And so, like, I don't know if he's going to win or be our preseason, but, you know, at least you have to acknowledge Brett Underwood taking over.
They're fun to watch. We'll talk about them in a little bit when we do our kind of wrap around the Big 12, but absolutely, I totally agree. So we'll wait on that. You know, let's just give it to him instead of Scudger. Is that cool? Let's just do that.
Yeah, I'd rather not circle back. Let's just do it.
Let's just do that. Okay, that works for me. All right, Andrew, next up is the Scott Drew Ducey Coach of the Year Award. Who do you got for the Scott Drew Ducey Coach of the Year Award this year?
Well, Shaka Smart, because he came in talking a big game, and he's learning that the Big 12 or coaching a Big 12 team is not as easy as he thought it was going to be. Came in talking a big game. Texas not having a great season.
Not so far now.
And a couple of these other guys, we don't really know yet. I mean, we could give it to Scott Drew. Sure. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
But we could give it to Bruce Weber, but that's same old, same old. We don't know a lot of these new guys. So I think kind of it's Shaka's turn to win this.
I think you're right.
And it's his turn.
I think you're right. Let's move on. Andrew, next up is the Kim English F That Guy Award. I thought this one for a while. This was tough. And I landed on Javon Carter from West Virginia. He is number one in steals in the Big 12. Also number one in should have been called fouls, in my opinion. So that's the route that I went down for this award. I didn't have a great feel yet. Of course, you know, not playing any Big 12 basketball yet. A lot of new guys in the league. A lot of names that people don't know exactly yet, you know, that kind of came on this year so far. I decided to go with Javon Carter. Who do you got here?
Somebody from West Virginia.
Yeah,
it's going to be somebody.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Pick somebody from West Virginia, and I'm fine with it.
All right. Well, I'm going with Javon Carter for now. There's probably some other guys that will pop up throughout the year. This is one of those awards that could change because someone will piss us off. There's always one or two. So this could change. But for now, we'll just go with Javon Carter as a placeholder for the West Virginia guy we don't like. Okay. Let's move on, Andrew. This is always a good one. The Keaton Page Annoying White Guy of the Year Award. This was a tough one last year because we had it down, Andrew, to Phil Forte or Dean Wade at K-State. Dean Wade being a freshman, touted Kansas guy coming in, definitely had the look of an annoying white guy. Phil Forte, of course, got hurt, so we were curious whether we could even give it to him because he was hurt. And then I came back for his like 17th year, and he's back. Do we give it to Phil Forte? Do we look somewhere else? What do you think?
I think you give it to Phil Forte as a legacy pick.
Pick.
Category is founded upon guys like Phil Forte.
Speaking of free throws. Forte is 44 of 45 from the free throw line this year.
Can I throw out a controversial pick, controversial opinion?
Yeah.
Please. Can Tyler Self win this award?
No, I don't think so. Well, here's the The point of the annoying white guy award has always been who Jackson makes too many threes on us, right?
Right.
That has always kind of been the Keaton Page annoying white guy of the year. Like that's what started it. As you mentioned, you know, Keaton Page, Brady Heslip, Phil Forte, these are all annoying white guys that make three-pointers, right? Even Dean Wade at 6'10 is probably their best three-point shooter, by the way. But Tyler Self is not a good three-point shooter.
Well, if you just take the name of it, like annoying white guy.
Yeah.
Like Tyler Self's gonna fit that category.
To other teams, I'm sure. Not to us.
Right, right. I'm just
right.
Tyler's getting to that point where it's like it's more of a novelty. It's always
the mustache.
The mustache is yeah.
Is that part of it?
That's probably part of it too.
That's probably part of it. All right, fair enough. Well, I guess we'll land on Phil Forte III for now.
Yeah, it's his award. No, like we're gonna rename this the Phil Forte Award.
It might be. I think he's won it 3 years in a row.
Yeah, we're gonna rename it. Like it'll be the Keaton Page Phil Forte Annoying White Guy I mean, like, right. You know, you can have Gallagher Ivor Arena. We can have Paige Forte award.
Done. Okay. Andrew, up next is one of my favorites, near and dear to my heart, the Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year Award. And this one, we struggled with a little bit. This is, of course, goes to the player that is the sportsman like Marshall Henderson was, who we adored, by the way. Andrew and I were big fans of Marshall Henderson, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, I sent you a Marshall Henderson gif like 3 days ago.
You did, in fact, do that. So Marshall Henderson Sportsman of the Year is not necessarily a negative thing. And so just to rehash, last year we gave it to Brandon Green because he'd been in and out of the doghouse. He was the impetus for, of course, this little fun drop. The whole dick move thing that Brandon brought along, which one of the best sound bites we've ever heard. But so who do we give it to this year, Andrew? Of course, it's ideally someone who's been suspended already or like is on the verge of suspension. We couldn't really think of anybody that's been suspended, so we just gave it to Carlton Bragg. You know, if you think about it, he did put himself in a position off the court. Obviously, he didn't, you know, do any the video set him free and all of that stuff. But we could probably say that she wasn't pushing him because, you know, he probably did something, right? Like, we could say that.
Like, yeah, probably.
He probably did something to like get pushed. Now that doesn't, I'm not condoning violence or pushing or battery or whatever else of any kind. However, he probably did something to get pushed. Now, it might have been just everyone was drunk and, you know, whatever, and it led to something, but that's still something, right? So off the court issue led to suspension. We don't really have a better answer right now is really what it comes down to. So hopefully there's a better Sportsman of the Year award that comes up at some point, but we got to give it to Carlton right now, right?
I think so. I don't think we have a better option.
We don't have a better option. This is a placeholder.
We need someone to break through.
Yeah, we need a good fight. We need something to happen, you know, that leads to like technical fouls, maybe even kicked out of some games. We need some of that stuff to happen. And it will probably, right? Honestly, it won't be Carlton that does it, right? We can agree on that. Like, he's not that guy. But, you know, right now that's all we got. So there you go. Let's move along, Andrew. This is always a fun one. The Travis Ford Hot Seat of the Year Award. It turns out the Travis Ford Hot Seat of the Year Award, you know, the namesake, turned out to be, you know, he lost his job because he has on the hot seat for too long, seemingly on the hot seat for like 4 years. Right. But, so Travis Ford Hot Seat of the Year Award. This was tough. There's a lot of new coaches. None of those guys are on the hot seat. Who do you got?
I'm going to say Shaka Smart because Texas is so bad.
Wow.
I don't think that he's going to get fired, but you know, let's say they go 9-20 or whatever that works out to be, 9-22 or go 11-19 or whatever it is. Like, that's at Texas. That's not going to cut it. I mean, that's TCU type of numbers. Like, they have a chance of being the worst team in the league. That's a good league, and everybody's ranked in the top 30 or 40 of KenPom, except for Texas. But he's got a, you know, another season of that. That seat's going to be really warm, and if something changes, the Texas new athletic director, and because they kind of always messing around with people shuffling like around that, in Texas. It? Yeah, that you know, somebody could come in if there's an opportunity to hire a pretty good coach, because Texas can attract some coaches. And they don't see any progress. You know, they're getting guys in, though. I mean, they're getting big-time recruits. But
right.
Tonight, they lost to Kent State. They lost to Kent Yikes. State at home. At home.
Yikes.
It's not going to be a good year. And so, you know, by the end of the year, you may hear some hot seat talk. But I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Well, you know, Charlie Strong was a hot coach hiring, you know. He was the hottest college football coach out there. So was Shaka. Right. Shaka was the hottest coach out there. They bring him in, and then, man, who knows? So maybe, Kay, you can play spoiler again for Shaka, and Shaka can go back to coaching Virginia Commonwealth or something. But we'll see on that. You know, he's getting bringing some good guys in. Maybe that it's not translating though to the Big 12 so far, which is crazy if you think about it, Andrew. Like, who's playing more havoc, Texas or West Virginia?
West Virginia,
or Texas, or even Oklahoma State. Like, Oklahoma State's playing some havoc. They're doing it probably better than Texas is, and freaking Brad Underwood just got hired, brought it in, and just took these other guys and started doing it. So I don't know. Interesting. All right, Andrew, that is the end of the preseason Jayhawk Talkie Award ceremony. We hope you've enjoyed it. We will watch those. Feel free to tweet us at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops, with your own preseason Jayhawk Talkies. If you did not like our selections, we'll watch those throughout the season. We'll do some postseason Jayhawk Talkies, of course, the official Jayhawk Talkies, which will be given out after the season. Let's move on, Andrew, and do a little bit of Go-Go Power Rankings.
The power lies on their side. Go-Go Power Rankers!
All right, Andrew, we actually solicited the nice folks on Twitter to help us come up with the power rankings. We got a bunch of responses. I kind of used those as a little bit of help, sort of balancing what I had already put out there. Even tonight with the Texas loss, I moved them down one because I couldn't rightfully have them at 8. They've moved down to 9, but let's run through this real quick. And you tell me what you disagree with, on my power rankings. Right now I've got KU number 1 and Baylor number 2. Of course, there's some out there that think maybe based on schedule and what they've seen so far, Baylor deserves to be number 1. In fact, some people on the old Twitter said that. So, I've got KU over Baylor. You cool with that?
Yep, I'm fine with that. I know this Baylor team.
I agree. Seen that movie before. I've got West Virginia 3rd. I think there's probably no real questions about the top 3. Whatever order you want to put it in, KU, Baylor, West Virginia seem to be in their own little tier.
Yeah, my only comment would be if it's based on like resume in terms of do they deserve it? Yeah, maybe Baylor is ahead of West Virginia, but I think West Virginia is better than Baylor.
Do you? Okay. And this was kind of, I didn't really use like one criteria for this. It was just more like, what do I feel like? So, right now I just couldn't rightfully put West Virginia above Baylor, but if they played right now, on a neutral court, who do you think would win that?
West Virginia.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's tough. Like, I think they're pretty close. All right. We'll figure that out soon. I got Iowa State number 4. I don't feel great about it. But this is this weird little group of teams, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, maybe K-State, that are all kind of, no one's really jumping crazy forward so far. I mean, Iowa State's got a couple bad losses. They lost but to Iowa by 14 points. It doesn't feel right to have them be the 4th best team, but that's where I landed. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Just from what they've got coming back.
Yeah.
You know, some good players, and you know, they know how to compete in the Big 12 with the guys that they have there. So I mean, they're gonna be a contender.
Yeah. I think that feels right. I mean, it's just whatever. All right.
These other teams, just in terms of these other teams have to show it because Iowa State we know can do it. These other teams we don't know yet.
Yeah, like Oklahoma State, I have next. Number 5 is exactly one of those teams.
We just don't know yet.
We know Juwan Evans is good. We know Phil Forte is Phil Forte, but, you know, obviously a totally different style of play. They lost by a lot of points to North Carolina and lost by 1 point to Maryland, but otherwise they've kind of crushed everybody else, including Wichita State. That's a pretty good team, not amazing team, but, you know, pretty good team, and crushed them. And anyway, I got them 5th. I think that so far, they've shown me enough to be in the top half of the Big 12, and maybe it's more of a reflection of some of the teams here in the bottom half, starting with K-State. I've got 6th, And part of the K-State issue is they just haven't really played anybody. They played Maryland close. I think they lost by a point. But they've got no other wins in the top, whatever, 150 in KenPom. Of course, we really don't either. But that is why I've got them sixth. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I think so. I mean, they have that one Maryland game. And they haven't. I mean, we don't know. I mean,
right.
They've this shown. Is... It's not like they've lost those games. Like they've shown that, you know, they're kind of putting that team together, the young team. Right. But you know, when the rubber hits the road and Big 12 happens, you know, is this
we're gonna
a?
Learn. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna learn. Is this a 500? You know, Big 12 team, or is this better or worse? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I think I disagree with your next one. You have OU as, was it number seven?
Seven, yeah.
I think OU's bad.
Yeah, I think they're bad too. I think you're right. I mean, I like Jordan Woodard. And then they've got some names in there that you're like, who the hell are these guys? Christian James, Rashard Odoms. I mean, those guys are playing pretty well, but no one knows who they are. But you're right, they lost to Northern Iowa, lost to Wichita State, which obviously got crushed by Oklahoma State, lost to Memphis, Auburn. I mean, Auburn's actually okay, but they did beat Clemson, who's okay. But you're right. They have probably had one of the worst starting, you know, I think they've lost like four of their last five games, which is not good. I completely agree with you. However, I guess I trust their team maybe a little more than some of these other teams. And maybe I'm wrong, you know, life without Buddy Hield and Spangler and some of those guys, not so good so far, but maybe I trust that they're going to come back around. I could be wrong. So who do you put ahead of them? Everybody?
Texas Tech? I put Texas Tech and TCU.
Interesting. Okay. So let's talk about Texas Tech. I have them next. 11-1, right, to start the season. Lost and, one and game to Auburn.
They haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody. But, you know, they made the NCAA tournament last year, and when they weren't supposed to. Right. This was supposed to be the year that they went to the tournament. Like, this was supposed to be the year when everything came together. So, I mean, I think people are sleeping on this team just because Tubby Smith left. I think they're bringing in a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
But we don't know. I mean, they haven't played anybody, but this is supposed to be the year they're supposed to be, you know, a good, solid Big 12 team. You know, they're ranked 27 in KenPom, which is, you know, something that, you know, it's hard to even fathom Texas Tech being ranked 27th in KenPom. But I think they're going to be good. I think good enough to make the tournament. And so I think I have them, you know, six or seven, you know, above OU, above Texas, above.
Okay. I won't disagree with that.
Above OU and above Texas anyway. And then maybe K-State, who knows? I don't know how K-State's going to be, but you know, they're going to hover in the middle, I think.
Okay. I'll buy that. I'm not disagreeing with you there. Next I have Texas, which we've talked about
last.
That.
I have them last. They're bad.
They might deserve it. I mean, weren't they ranked to start the year though? I mean, I know that doesn't mean anything, but, I mean, on paper, they should have dudes. I mean, they're young. They got a couple freshmen playing significant minutes. Maybe I just feel like they're going to eventually turn it around. Maybe I'm completely wrong. So, anyway, that I guess we'll see on Texas. Then I have TCU last. Again, their KenPom is like number 37. So they're not bad, at least so far. But again, they haven't played anybody. Well, that's not true. I guess they played Washington and beat them twice. Washington's in the top 100, but and they got a good coach. They got a good coach. Jamie Dixon's in town, which is that's a good hire. That's a good hire. There's some good coaches in the Big 12, man. All of a sudden, so all right. Well, there you go. There's our.
I will
our
say
power rankings.
I will bet you if you want to bet. I do not think TCU will finish last.
Nah, I'll take the field. I will not take the field. I agree with you. They will not finish last.
You know, the one game they lost was to SMU, and that game was close the whole game. And then they kind of sputtered it away at the end. But, you know, they're going to be a competitive team. I mean, that was a good matchup.
Yeah.
You know, an SMU-TCU matchup. You know, they lost by 15, but It would end up being a really good game, but you know, it's the conversation was, and then the kind of narrative coming into the season was, oh, Big 12 is down. It's not going to be a strong Big 12.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It is anything but. It is anything but down. This is a great league. All the teams are highly ranked. Had great, with the exception of Texas, had great non-conference seasons.
OU didn't have a great non-conference.
OU didn't either. But I mean, those are traditional powers. It's these
TCU's
and Texas Techs and Oklahoma States who have been down, who are suddenly becoming really good basketball teams.
KenPom has Big 12 number one and not really close over the ACC. Of course, that's weighted down by the Boston Colleges and the Georgia Techs of the ACC that are just killing them. But top to bottom, that's what matters. And we've got a really deep league. It's going to be fun to watch. Andrew, what do you say we go through the schedule real quick? Talk about some of the teams as we go through, maybe just pick the schedule real quick and maybe just give 30 seconds on each team that are in the Big 12. Give the folks a little preview.
Yeah. Let's just do it real quick. We probably want to get out of here, but we want to at least give the folks our thoughts going through. Let's just start. We've got a game Friday. So this is,
yeah, let's just preview that while we're here. Yeah.
Yeah. A rare Friday game. We can just do it while. Yeah. Rare Friday conference game because of New Year's against TCU. This is in Fort Worth. What do you think about Jamie Dixon and the Horned Toads, Horned Frogs?
I think they're okay. You know, basically just looking at their numbers, as we mentioned, KenPom number 37. This would actually be KU's second best win, which is kind of crazy to think about. Just our schedule this year was, you know, not very strong, other than just those first two games. So this would be a technically a resume building win for Kansas over TCU. Hard to believe, but I saw KenPom had he does the little predictions of scores. He had KU winning 76-71, which seems really close, doesn't it? What do you think the line is going to be in this game?
Well, this is at TCU,
right?
And TCU's good. I'm telling you, TCU's good. I don't think we're going to lose, but you know, so they had the line at 76-71. I bet it's KU minus 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I think people are going to load up on that line. That's what I think.
It'll be 8. You think they'll load up on 8 KU minus 8 and then lose? You think that's
a possibility?
You think minus 8? Yeah. See, I feel like the line should be like 10. And maybe I'm crazy here, but we'll see. As you mentioned, only one loss to SMU. They got a good defense. I think I saw their 11th in steal percentage and their top 20 in turnover percentage. That's pretty good. They also played UNLV as we did. They beat them by 4. I think we won, 18? Jamie Dixon's a good coach. Balanced scoring attack. Nobody's really averaging more than like 12, but they got 5 or 6 dudes all around 10. So, very balanced team. They got a good freshman in Jalen Fisher, 11.5 points per game, ninth in assists in the Big 12, 12th in steals in the Big 12. He's kind of loading up the box score as well. So, that's TCU. What do you think? What do you think the final is going to be?
I think we're going to win. I think we're going to score 89 points. Because we've been scoring 89 every game.
89 to what?
89 to 79.
All right. I think KU is going to cover that. I think it's going to be more like 89 to 75.
Okay. Well, that's not that much different. All right. Moving on. After a 17-day absence from Allen Fieldhouse, KU returns to K-State. I'm visiting K-State. I guess we'll learn what K-State is then, because we don't really know.
Yeah.
So Bruce Weber's back. A couple of things you need to know. They're KenPom number 31. Their only losses by 1 point to Maryland. They didn't really play anybody else. Their defense is good, but they didn't play anybody. Their leading scorer is Downtown Barry Brown, which is what his name is, right?
Yeah. I named him Downtown Barry Brown. Of course, there's Terry Brown for Kansas. But
yeah.
Anyway,
I got it. Yeah. There you go. You know, DJ Johnson's back. He's pretty good. probably going to fill the stat sheet for them, and I got to look out for. Yeah. And then, you know, Dean Wade's still there. Wesley Iwundu is supposed to be the leader of this team. Probably could be more, but, you know, something I know Bill Self's going to be designing his defense around. You know, we'll see him play somebody pretty quick. You know, they play this Friday against a Texas team. You know, if Texas can get a win there, you know, maybe I'll change my mind about Texas, but I think K-State's going to get that win. And then we'll see. We'll see what K-State's all about. Yeah, I think they're a tournament team. I don't think they're a tournament team.
I don't think so either. All right, let's move along. We play Texas Tech next up at home as well. We talked about them a little bit, but 11-1 to start the season, 27th in KenPom. No wins in the top 100. They are third in field goal percentage, Andrew. That's pretty insane. Kansas is sixth, if you want to know. But their adjusted tempo is 319th in college basketball. So not an up-tempo team. Don't shoot many threes, but they're pretty balanced. Head coach Chris Beard, of course, of Little Rock fame. You remember he was the team went 30-5 last year. Who'd they knock off? Like Purdue or somebody in the tournament, but seems to have a pretty good team. I think KU wins this game, but as you mentioned, Texas Tech, you know, not too bad.
Okay, moving on to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's bad. Without Buddy Hield, they're bad. No Cousins, no Spangler. They have Jordan Woodard. We mentioned their losses earlier, but you have listed here they're probably not as bad as the record says. I think they are. I don't think they're very good, Kevin.
Remember in the preseason they were almost lost to Washburn?
Remember yeah. We were looking at that's where I lost confidence. That's where I lost confidence. Like fair Washburn enough. Took them to the wire at home.
They did. They did. And Washburn's good though. I mean, I'm telling you. I'm a Washburn truther, but they're pretty good. Anyway, yeah, you're right. I think KU wins this game. Let's move along. Then we play Oklahoma State, Andrew, at home. And we talked about him a little bit, but you know, Coach Brad Underwood has things going pretty well. KenPom number 33. They got crushed by North Carolina, lost by one to Maryland, had that crazy blowout win against Wichita State. Andrew, they're averaging like 94 points per game. After averaging last year, they averaged 66 last year under Travis Ford. So they went from 66 to 94 so far. Now, obviously, that's going to come down in the Big 12, but still, like, they're not really playing defense. They're kind of doing this, like, let's go for steals and then let's just run, which has led them to seventh most in steals, but they're giving up a lot of points. And, you know, so obviously they're kind of aggressive on defense. Tyshawn Taylor would really like their defensive strategy. Juwan Evans playing really well, 20 points per game, as we mentioned, 56% from three, which is crazy. Phil Forte has actually not been playing that well, other than free throws, only 34% from three. You know, they're a pretty good team. This will be a good game. I think at home KU wins though. What do you say we move along?
Okay. Yeah. Let's move along. Let's talk about Iowa State in Ames. Big yeah. Monday.
I'll be there.
We want to try to go, right? I'm going to see if
I'm there. Yeah. My new job is based out of Des Moines. I will be there. I will be making sure that I make a trip. So absolutely.
They've got three losses on the season, but they're all to pretty good teams, except for Iowa. Iowa's pretty good. Gonzaga, Cincinnati are good teams. Iowa, I think, is going to be a pretty decent team in the Big Ten. Not a contending team, but a decent team.
Yeah.
You know, guys to keep an eye on, Naz Long, you know, he's kind of emerged as a big time player for them. And of course, Monte Morris, he's averaging 15 and 6 assists. And then Deontay Burton, we mentioned him earlier. He travels every time down the floor, but he averages 13 and 8. So, you know, if he travels, they're going to lose by 100, you know, if they call it. If not, he's going to be a real force on the floor. You know, he's not that tall, but he's just...
No, he can he's like 6'5".
He can do whatever he wants with you. I think... This will be the first time in several years that we're going to get a win in Ames. I think we've got it. I think we've got the right personnel to do it. We're going to beat them in Ames using Fred Hoiberg's strategy.
I like it. Boy, that'll hurt extra. It looks like KenPom has us winning right now 76-73 that game. So interesting. Andrew, let's talk about this Texas game. We play them at home first. KenPom has us as a 93% chance to beat them. They're KenPom number 69 at the moment. As we mentioned, bad losses to Northwestern by 19 points, Colorado by 14 points, lost to UT Arlington by 11 points, other losses to Michigan, Arkansas, and now, what did we say, Kent State tonight?
Kent State, so Golden Flashes.
The Gold Flashes. So, yeah, they've got six losses, and four of them are awful losses. However, they did get a 36-point win against an okay UAB team this week, so that's something. We will see. I mean, they're just terrible on offense, man. They're terrible shooting, only 30% from three. They're like 300th in assists per game, 242nd in points per game. Tevin Mack has been a pretty good player. He's averaging 16 and 5 rebounds per game, shooting 43% from three, but like he's it. They don't have a point guard. You know, I wrote here that they're pretty young. They're going to get better. Freshman Jared Allen has been pretty good. He's averaging 10 and 7. But yeah, rough for Texas so far.
I think you're right. Then we go to West Virginia. Looking to be a pretty rough game. I don't anticipate a win there.
We don't play well there, man.
We just don't. Because we got to fly into Pittsburgh and then we got to drive in. It's just a pain to get there. They're a pain to play. It's just
blame it on the bus ride from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, it's just the whole situation is not fun. It's usually really cold.
It's
going to
snow. It's inevitably going to snow.
It's just going to be 14 inches on the ground. Not a great place to play. We haven't won there in a while either.
Yeah. So what? They're 7th in KenPom. Pretty good. Did lose to Temple. That wasn't a very good loss. But they did beat Virginia. That's pretty good. Andrew, they're doing this whole steal thing again, right? The press Virginia. Except this year, they're taking it to another level. I mean, they've led the nation in steals the last 2 years, but they averaged like 10 steals a game. This year, they're averaging 14. So same thing, but man, just crazy. Crazy press, kind of a weird offense, but they're still averaging 92 freaking points a game. But yeah, they're doing their thing. All right. Then we got the old Kentucky game, the old Big 12 SEC challenge right in the smack dab middle of the Big 12 season. Andrew, it is at Kentucky this year. Kentucky's looked pretty good, although up and down a little bit. What do you think of that game?
It's going to be pretty crazy. In Lexington. They're going to, you know, they took us to overtime last year. We got the win. They're going to have revenge on the mind. They're pretty good. Have a lot of freshmen. I mean, I think it's because it's in Kentucky. I don't anticipate a win.
It's going to be tough.
We'll be competitive. We can walk out of there with a win. It's not going to be, you know, it's impossible, but that's going to be tough.
That'd be a hell of a resume builder. I mean, we win that game. And then win the Big 12. It doesn't matter what we do in the Big 12 tournament. We're one seed. I mean, wins over Duke and Kentucky. Get out of here. Okay. Let's move on, Andrew. We've got one more game to cover here against Baylor, the last team we haven't talked about. And as we mentioned, on paper, best resume in basketball, right? Wins over Xavier, Louisville, Michigan State, VCU, Oregon, KenPom number 9. They're undefeated. The first predicted loss on KenPom is at West Virginia on January 10th. So it's potential that, you know, they're still undefeated for another couple weeks here. So Motley's a stud. Manu Leconte, transfer from Miami, is
Miami.
Miami. Bienvenidos. Miami. He has actually been really good at point guard, averaging 12 and 6 assists. And so watch for Manu Leconte. We don't play them again, or we don't play them until the 10th game in the Big 12. So we could be playing for a situation where we're, you know, two best teams in the Big 12 playing together, not till, you know, 10 games into the season. So that'd be kind of wild. What do you think of this game? Are we going to win?
Yes. At home, we're going to win.
Yeah. Okay. Let's rapid fire the rest of the schedule here since we've covered all the teams. Iowa State at home?
Win.
K-State on the road?
Win.
Tough. Okay, right now, KenPom has a 73-69 win. I agree. I think we win that game. Here's one for you. Texas Tech away. Always win. Tough for us.
Win.
KenPom has it 73-71. That'd be wild. another one here. West Virginia at home, we crush. We win by double digits.
Okay.
Right?
Win. I like it.
Baylor away.
By this point, Baylor will have lost itself. They will be out in the wilderness, all growing beards, and not knowing left from right.
Right from now, KenPom has us losing by 1 point. I disagree. I say win. TCU home win, right? Texas away. Right now, looking like a win. Although they'll probably like win this game just to like annoy everyone. They won't be just to get into the NIT or something. That would be annoying. Oklahoma at home win. Oklahoma State on the road, Andrew, to close out the Big 12 season. Who do you got?
Oh, that's gonna be tough. We should go to that game.
That'd be fun.
And Gallagher-Iba. I haven't been to Gallagher-Iba.
Ooh, I don't know. I probably won't have clearance for that.
Oh yeah, you probably won't.
Looking at the date, we have our first child on the way out there, folks. So, and due in March, actually due March 24th, which if you're looking at your calendars and you've ordered some tickets for the Big 12, or for, I'm sorry, for the Sprint Center games, that would potentially be the game in the Elite Eight or to go to the Final Four from the Sprint Center. So we might be watching that from a different place than the stands, but yeah, not sure I'll have clearance for that, but you should definitely go in and be our correspondent for the podcast.
Deal.
All right. I don't know what that is, Andrew, but I think we just went 17-1 in the Big 12.
Good. I like it.
Not sure that's really going to happen.
Although that's Ken how we Palm do this. That's how we do this.
I know. KenPom has us only losing what, like twice, but his projected record is 13-5. Yeah, so all, same deal.
It's based on different formulas.
Right.
Not game, you know, and so
13-5 wins the Big 12, right?
Oh yeah.
I think so too.
I mean, tie maybe 14-4, I think wins it outright, but you know, just like normal years, that seems to be the number you need to hit, especially with this one, with everybody being pretty good and kind of hovered around the middle. There's not a lot of like TCU. There's not going to be an 0-18 TCU team.
You just got to hold serve at home, which we will. And then, you know, go on the road and knock off someone you shouldn't, and you're going to win the Big 12. Like that's it. Right. And that's been our formula for a really long time. It's worked out pretty well for us. Win all your home games, knock off a couple on the road, let everyone else beat up on everybody else, which will happen. And that would lead to how many straight? I don't even know anymore. 13 straight Big 12 titles.
That's
right, Andrew.
13. Are you losing track?
I literally am. Yeah. 13 straight, which would tie, of course, UCLA as the most ever. So something like that. I don't even remember these stats anymore, but Andrew, we are back on the podcast. Sorry for this extra long podcast. We had a lot to talk about being gone for so long. We have talked it over, and we have vowed to do a weekly podcast. Hold us to it. If we don't do a weekly podcast, you can presume one of us has died. So hopefully that doesn't happen. And we will continue to bring this podcast to you. Looking forward to an awesome Big 12 slate of games. Going to be a lot of fun this year, I think. Any closing thoughts, Andrew, before we get out of here?
You know, it's going to be exciting Big 12 season. We've got our first ever, I'm going to say first ever, opening Friday game of the Big 12. It's on a Friday. Enjoy that before the new year. And then let's hope that 2017 is a big year for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, absolutely. This could be a good one, Andrew. I got a good feeling about this year. We got the pieces. I think it's going to be a really fun year. It's a really fun year for college basketball generally. There were some good teams, a lot of blue blood programs that are up there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, let's get out of here. Please tweet to us at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops. If you have any questions, you disagree with us, love to get some banter going. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. And we will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Rock Jock.
Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it.